This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. In Alex Meyer's new novel, Revolutionary, Deborah Sampson is a 22-year-old weaver who yearns for something more. She feels trapped in 18th-century Massachusetts and tells her friend, there is a world out there beyond weaving, beyond housework. So she cuts her hair, disguises herself as a man, and becomes a soldier and fights heroically in the Continental Army. The gripping novel is based on the true story of Deborah Sampson, recognized as a true hero in America's War for Independence. In 1983, the Massachusetts legislature named her the official state heroine and declared May 23rd Deborah Sampson Day. That her story inspired author Alex Meyer is understandable. Meyer is a female-to-male transgender person. He was the first openly transgender student at Harvard and over the years has campaigned for transgender rights. His new novel is called Revolutionary. Alex Meyer, welcome to the program and congratulations. What a great read you have put together here.
Thank you very much.
Now, I'd love to get you to explain where your interest in Deborah Sampson began. And I understand that your grandmother told you about your own ancestral ties to her, right?
Absolutely. My grandmother was an amateur genealogist, and she loved to tell stories about our family. We used to come down for Patriots Day and see the reenactment of the Battle of Lexington and Concord, and I actually had quite a couple of ancestors who fought in the Revolutionary War, so Deborah Sampson's was just one of the stories that my grandmother told me.
It's really interesting. So tell us a little about her life that she was leaving behind when she was enlisted. What was her life like there in 18th century Massachusetts?
It was incredibly tough. She was one of seven children. Her father abandoned the family, moved up to Maine, and took up with a second wife, leaving her mother alone to raise seven kids. Mm. And at the age of five or six, Deborah was put out. That's the colonial term for foster care. She was put out in the service of a widow or a spinster and was basically that woman's servant until the woman died. And at that point, Deborah was sold into a bond, the New England term for indentured servitude. Mm-hmm. She was a bond servant to Deacon Thomas of Middleborough from age 10 to age 18. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how hard her life was, just grindingly poor. She was always looking to make extra money. She raised ducks and geese. And in 1782, she had been free from her bond for a couple of years. She was working as a weaver, an itinerant job back in those days. She would go from house to house that owned a loom and weave for them piece by piece. She taught school in the summer. She just put her jobs together as she could find them. And in 1782, there was a call for 3 years' men by General Washington, and he asked for a new crop of soldiers. No one was interested. So the towns had to offer a huge amount of money in order to get men to sign on to become soldiers. I think it was an opportunity she couldn't resist, both for the money and for the chance to truly be free.
Interesting. Now, I want to go back to your grandmother. When she first told you about Deborah Sampson, how did she present her to you? And how did that story sort of resonate with you?
I think for my grandmother Puffer, it was a story of a young woman who was so patriotic and so caught up in the spirit of the revolution that she just really wanted to serve. But what I heard when my grandmother told the story was, Deborah Sampson watched all the young men of her town march off to war, and she was jealous. She wanted to be a soldier, too. And for my grandmother, that meant patriotism. But for me, that meant I looked at boys a lot when I was young and said, I want to do what they're doing.
Interesting.
And, you know, it's a very different world in 1992 than it was in 1782, but I still felt that boys were allowed to do things that girls weren't, and I still felt as a young girl that I wanted to be more like them.
It's just so interesting. I mean, you know, when you think about this story and the layers of meaning in it, I mean, the American Revolution, fighting for freedom, fighting against tyranny, and then embedded in this story is this story of a woman fighting to free her own self from her own body, her own the forces of the society that she was living in. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's amazing.
Well, I did make some of it up.
yeah, of course, because you wrote a novel. So let me ask you about that. Why a novel rather than a biography?
Well, there's just a story to it. There's a narrative arc to it that I wanted to add. You can never know somebody's psychology. You can never really know their emotions, but you can imagine that. So there was a lot of truth that was, as you say, as good as fiction or better than fiction. But I wanted to add to that. I wanted to make Deborah real. And unfortunately, we will never know. She didn't keep a diary of everything that she thought. So I got to make up in between, as well as the fact that, you know, we know the major events of her life. We know what she tells us about her war service, but we don't know all the details. details. And so I was able to take what was a kind of a spinal column of events and add ligaments and muscle and flesh to those to make a story. It was a lot of fun.
There's a moment in the book where Deborah or Robert, as she calls herself, and another soldier, Jeremiah, are standing guard when they're approached by one of the sergeants. And Jeremiah has drifted off to sleep. And when the sergeant wakes him, he explains that he's been on guard since dawn. The sergeant replies, "So is this soldier," referring to Robert, to Deborah, right? And he says, "And you don't see him complaining because that soldier is a man." And that last sentence stays with Deborah from there on. How does she internalize that phrase, "That soldier is a man"?
I think she takes it as affirmation in two ways. I think she takes it as affirmation as she's passing and she's able to carry on this masquerade, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. But I think in a larger and perhaps more important sense, she takes it as affirmation that she's doing her job well. And when I think of Deborah, I think of her less as a person who desperately wanted to be a man and much more as a person who desperately wanted to belong.
I
think that she was outside of her cultural mainstream in mm-hmm. Middleborough. She was an independent woman. People probably didn't like her for being so free-spirited and independent. And in the army, she was able to be herself, in a sense, of course, by not being herself. But she was able to succeed and to belong. And hearing that soldier is a man, she was told, "You're doing well."
Hmm. You must think about this, obviously, as someone who was born a woman and became a transgendered person. I mean, if she had lived today, would she have taken that route, do you think?
I doubt it. I think that what she wanted was freedom that wasn't allowed to women. I think she wanted to be able to go from town to town, which women weren't allowed to do unescorted in her era. I think she wanted to have a job and support herself, which women really had a hard time doing unless they were widows and inherited their husband's business. But all of those freedoms are permitted to women these days. And I imagine that she would have a great be more successful in living as a woman today.
I'd love you to tell me something about the research because, again, I want to keep stressing, I know you've written a novel, but you did a lot of historical research to really figure this out. What were the hardest parts about this story to come up with and figure out?
At first, the hardest part was reading Deborah's own recounting of the story, mm-hmm. which was written in an as-told-to biography in 1797. And cutting away the sort of fable, the untruths that Deborah told about herself, about her service, just kind of getting rid of that and figuring out what actually happened. Mm-hmm. And then after I'd done that, it was looking for the details that would make this real and not just sort of history on the page, but something that had a little bit of air and life in it. Going back and looking at letters and journals that soldiers, not Deborah, but other soldiers, just common average soldiers wrote, so I could figure out what was their voice, what were they writing about, what did they care about. Reading newspaper articles and almanacs at the time and getting a sense of, again, what were people's worldviews? What were their concerns? It took a long time before I felt that I had a real handle on what that world was like.
Deborah was eventually found out by a doctor who took care of her when she came down with a severe fever. She ends up being honorably discharged in 1783. She ended up marrying a man, having three children after the war. She lived out the rest of her life in Sharon, Massachusetts. Do you think she was fulfilled in the end?
No, I don't. I think that she had a very hard life after the war, in many ways as hard as her life before the war. I think the marriage was largely an unhappy one. She thought she was landing something of a catch with Benjamin Gannett, but he didn't inherit the farmland she hoped he would. They had a very tough existence. Mm-hmm. Three children was very few for that age, and the rumor around town was that she had sort of cut him off. Mm-hmm. She was generous, however. She took in other children and had a couple of sort of foster children as she had been when she was a child. And their life was so penniless that she actually went on the road as a lecturer to make money for the family. Again, totally unheard of at the time. She was the first woman lecturer in America to travel around. And she had to fight to get her military pension. And then when she died, Benjamin Gannett had to fight to keep receiving that military pension. And her children had to fight to keep receiving that military pension. And she fought for every nickel she could get.
Wow. She was a fighter. And she was quite, do we know from the historical record how she actually fought in the war?
It is hard to tell. The records of West Point weren't meticulously maintained, mm-hmm. but her unit, and she's on some muster rolls for her unit throughout the time that she says she served, was active in the Westchester rotation. So they went. We know they circled down to Sing Sing and Peekskill mm-hmm. and Tarrytown, and we know there were skirmishes at that time. There's no actual record of the soldier Robert Shurtleff seeing action, but if we can assume that she was with her unit, and we can assume that she saw very minor skirmishes, some with cavalry, some with irregulars, probably some with just farmers who had muskets and didn't want any soldiers on their property.
Yeah, interesting. Now, you consider Deborah Sampson to be as influential as Abigail Adams, Martha Washington, Betsy Ross, and yet she's a relatively, compared to them, she's a more obscure historical figure. Why do you think that is?
Because she's poor. I mean, I think all of the women that you just named are high, upper-class women. It's the same reason we know the founding fathers and we don't know the average soldiers, or even the not-so-average soldiers.
Mm. What's your hope? What do you want readers to take away from this really extraordinary story about Deborah Sampson?
I hope that they think something about what the capacity of women to serve in the military and the capacity of women to do jobs that they have historically been told are only for men or only appropriate for men. But I also hope that the average reader comes to it with an open mind about gender and doesn't either assume that Deborah was or was not transgender, but let the sort of the story carry that gender identity along. And she shifts between pronouns and just let that happen. Just think a little bit about what we believe about gender and why we believe those things. And I hope that it causes people who have never really thought about gender identity to give it some consideration.
Well, Alex Myers, it's a great read. Congratulations. A great story. And you've done a wonderful thing with a novel. So thank you for coming in and talking about it. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
That's Alex Myers. He's the author of Revolutionary, a new novel based on the life of America's first female soldier, Deborah Sampson. And Alex will be speaking tonight at the Harvard Bookstore. There's a lot more information at radioboston.org. And that's it for us today and this week. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.